parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
In the meantime, David Carey joins us once again. David, good afternoon.
I have my mouth watering there, Sean.
Really?
Yeah.
You obviously never had it before. Right, here's your first question. My son is 4 years old and for the most part an amazing little boy. When he was born, he had transient hyperinsulinism, if I've pronounced that correctly, which only lasted for 6 months. He's been in physio since age 1.5. At age 3, it was diagnosed as a slight frontal lobe damage. He's in speech therapy now to help with swallowing and drooling. He's always been a bit of a pushover with other children. If they want something he has, he gives it up and moves on. It never appeared to bother him, although as an only child, I felt he would be a bit less into sharing. We have spoken with a psychologist who said this is something he needs to work on and build his confidence around, as his cousin punched him and he said nothing, no reaction. And when a child pushes him, he wouldn't tell or say anything. I'm now worried that this isn't just shyness. Whenever he's around other kids, older or younger, he seems to freeze, almost scared. His teacher said if games get physical, he pulls out, even when he should be able to handle himself. His personality changes and he becomes moody and difficult. When he gets frustrated, it can lead to arguments and he can become quite upset and start crying. And lately, he started hitting himself. He says things like, I don't like me. I want to hit myself. Lately, he's mentioned he wants to die, once while upset and twice in random conversation. I'm expecting a baby soon, and 90% of the time, he's delighted about it. He's been asking for a brother or sister for about a year, but lately says if he dies, then there'll be another baby to replace him. What should I do? Do I look to see the psychologist or should I say no and no discussion when he's acting out? It is mainly with me that he acts out, less so with his dad.
You need to talk to the psychologist again. And this is a little boy who may benefit from play therapy intervention. These are frontal lobe symptoms that he's having. Frontal lobes affect our personality, our tolerance levels, etc. They can cause them to go down the negative way, and we could become more irritable and irascible and quick to anger, or they can make one quite passive. Mm. I would suggest a couple of things. One, talk to your service provider here, the psychologist. He's 4. We don't know if he's in junior infant or still in creche. An educational plan of some kind needs to be written to address these issues, both in school, and you need to work in cooperation with either creche teacher or junior infant teacher to transfer some of the same techniques and strategies into the family home. Mm. Gradually, we look for improvement over time. It's going to take a longer time for this boy than it would for your average expected child because he doesn't have the average expected brain. He's been diagnosed with frontal lobe damage, and so we can expect changes in personality. And I would suspect a lot of his docility and the occasional flare-ups are related to frontal lobe syndrome issues here. Mm. So you're going to have to be very, very careful and proceed smoothly. And you will need a lot of consultation from a developmental specialist and child specialist. Has he seen a pediatric neurologist? I would assume he probably has. Do not hesitate to pick up the phone and ring your physicians and your physiotherapist and your psychologist. They are your single best source of information on how to proceed. Do not try to write this book on your own. Yeah. You won't be able to. This is a developmentally quite different young child with considerable strengths and some weaknesses. Having a play partner that is an adult to supervise cooperative play experiences and to cue him on how to interact in difficult situations is a vitally important part of the overall program for this young fellow. Mm. Now, if he's in creche, that's a lot easier to manipulate because there's a lot of playtime in creche.
Yeah.
Much to our shame and detriment, we do not focus sufficiently on free playtime in junior and senior infant classes. However, I would suggest if this is a problem that you speak with the school and start the application process for a special needs assistant because this is a health and safety issue.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And so a special needs assistant can become a play partner for this little boy to teach him the skills of coping with difficult children or children who are very robust in their play pattern. Mm. and he will learn over time, but he will absolutely require some adult supervision and assistance with this. So let's get everything starting to put in place after the Christmas holidays. You need to talk to school people, creche or primary school. I don't know where he is. You need to be talking to the appropriate individuals. You need to be insisting on a program that it will be put together to help this little boy. You may want to invite physiotherapists to come to talk to the teacher and the special needs assistant and whoever might be involved in the educational life of this child in the school. I think that would be very appropriate. If he has a psychologist, you should see if the psychologist can come to the school. Sometimes that is quite difficult, busy schedules on the part of clinicians, etc. If you're going private, then of course there's the additional expense of an out-of-office visit. I think it's essential, though. And I don't want to let any of these things slide. So you've got to get on the ball here. Be proactive, which is extremely important. Be proactive, not reactive. Don't try to do this all on your own without advice. You can go badly wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously, a loving mom. I'm sure there's a loving dad involved, too, in an extended family. Everybody needs to be on the same page in whatever we're doing for this little boy. Mm. We do not want four different people using four different methodologies, four different strategies, and four different targets and objectives for behavioral improvement and change. We want everybody singing to the same hymn sheet here. That means that in a situation like this, someone has to be a case coordinator. That isn't always easy to organize in this country, but it's important. Someone has to have their finger on the pulse of all the strings in the web that are involved in helping this little boy. That's the person who receives the information and disseminates it locally, either in the creche or in the national school. And this is going to take place over several years of the educational life of this child. Maybe throughout primary school, maybe on into secondary school. I don't know.
Yeah.
But getting it right at the beginning is really important. And I think I've given you all the information you need. Now you have to go out and try to do it. It won't be easy. Be assertive. Be relentless.
Yeah. You did mention they're applying for to get an SNA. And is that a very cumbersome process?
Not necessarily. SNAs are granted to children who have care needs. This boy may, in fact, have care needs because of the drooling and the swallowing issues, etc. And also for children who present with health and safety needs. That is, that their behavior may be such that it's entirely disruptive to the class environment, or sometimes unpredictably aggressive to other children, or they put themselves in harm's way.
Yeah.
So health and safety is easier. Well, care issues are really easy. That means children who need to be fed or intubated, et cetera, and whatnot, and toileted. Health and safety issues aren't that tricky, and I think a very good case could be documented here. But you need a professional person. Typically, it's a psychologist to write things up and pitch it in the right way to the school so that he will eventually be granted his SNA, which should be a full-time SNA for this little boy, not to be shared with other people.
My 7-year-old is high function but on the autism spectrum. He is in mainstream school. He was a bit unsettled recently as we stayed in Granny's house while we had builders in. He told me he had a secret, which was he has been sticking his finger up his bum and eating it. He seems to be doing this every time he goes for a wee and in bed at night. How should I handle this? He says he doesn't know why and can't stop.
Well, you need to be very firm. This is a sensory issue. It is not uncommon. Unfortunately, it's very unpleasant for parents to even have to recognize that such a thing is happening. But you need to be firm and say, we don't do that. It's unhealthy. It can hurt you. It can make you sick. And you may have to repeat that 101 times. He may require some short-term supervision whilst toileting. That is, door open, someone standing there and watching. Because if the door is closed, he's very likely to do it again.
Yeah.
So a sharp no will probably suffice. It shouldn't take too long to extinguish the behavior. And in fact, what you do is put him on a little reinforcement schedule, so if you are supervising his toileting and he doesn't do it, he gets a small reward.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the reinforcer could be. The typical reinforcer for all children, if we're going to go down the behavior route, is the preferred thing they want when they can choose something freely. Mm. That's your best guide to what is the best reinforcer. You know, giving them an M&M or computer time may have no valence to them if they're not interested in M&Ms or computer time. So you observe first and you know what the child likes to do, and then you use that as the reinforcer for the no finger up bum rule that you want to enforce here. I don't think you'll have a hard time extinguishing the behavior, to be honest. Many, many parents have faced the same. A big problem with emergent adolescents at puberty time with children on the spectrum. They want to touch themselves, etc. A very simple and common solution is no elasticated waistbands, belts cinched tightly. Yeah. Harder to get your hand down your pants that way.
Mm-hmm. My wife's working hours have cut back and we've had to make a series of changes to make the money go that bit further. One thing on the chopping block is my daughter's speech and drama classes. She's 12 and has been going for over 4 years, really enjoys it. We told her the news 2 weeks ago and it did not go well. She talks about her friends there and how she'll never see them again. She has said the words, "My life is ruined." She keeps going on about it and is not moving on. Both my and my wife's patience are being tested here. We're so embarrassed that we can't afford it, but this is what we have to do. How do we make her understand? We certainly don't want to ruin her life.
Well, you're not going to ruin her life. Of course, the loss of some very preferred activity is catastrophic to 12-year-olds. This is the age of emergent adolescence. They are narcissists. They are the center of their world. Everyone else is peripheral and involved only to meet their needs. That's normal young adolescent development. So let's not frame this as some kind of deficit in her moral or behavioral worth or her psychology, etc. It's time to stop talking about it. There's no need for further discussion. I'm sorry you're in this situation. It's one many, many parents have faced. Investigate in school if they have speech and drama lessons as part of an after-school activity. Sometimes it's much less costly than private speech and drama and just as much fun. See if you can find source speech and drama classes somewhere else that are cheaper. I don't know if you can afford them at all. You have to do a little investigating. But most important, once you've made the decision and presented it to the child, it's time to stop dialoguing about it.
Yeah.
And you may be just, you could always use a little paradoxical intervention if your child, that you think your child can expect it and say, well, I'm your parent and it's my job to ruin your life. So there you go. I'm off to a good start.
Yeah, indeed it is. Their job. Someone says, my son had a bad habit like that boy in that he loves earwax, smelling it, eating it, squishing it between his fingers, you name it. It absolutely turns my stomach, but it's not an overnight fix. You just need to keep talking to him, as David says. It eventually worked for us. He now leaves his ears alone. But at least his ears were nice and clear, so he was able to hear what you were saying. We do have to take a commercial break. After that, parents who may have a gifted son. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. David's still with us. Our next question is this. I have three teenage sons, with the middle being 16. A teacher at my secondary school who has done some training in gifted children told my husband and I that she feels he is gifted, which my husband and I have felt is the case since he was young. My son hated primary school but loves secondary. He participates in a summer program in DCU for 3 weeks for gifted kids and describes the time there as the best 3 weeks of his life. He constantly needs to be busy in a doors reading. He does struggle socially, however, although he has made a couple of good friends at school and plays Dungeons and Dragons with them in the local library. My question is this. He is constantly, in my opinion, on screens, either the PlayStation 4 or his phone. He's not on social media, where he constantly reads material on a website called TV Tropes, which seems to have an endless stream of information which interests him. He has not allowed his phone at the dinner table or upstairs in his room, and I've asked him to stop using his phone at 9 p.m, which he will comply with, but only when I remind him. The only arguments we have are when I ask him to stop walking around the house with the headphones in, or when I ask him to take breaks from the screens. I would love if he would communicate a bit more and hang out with the rest of us, even to watch TV together, but he doesn't really like what the rest of us watch and seems to prefer being on his own. I just feel that he is to get better at social interactions, then he needs to be in a position where he will interact. And I feel racked with guilt, however, whenever you talk about teenagers on screens. But is it fair to force him to interact with his family if he doesn't want to? We have not had him assessed, but are fairly sure we would be told he has Asperger's. Should we get him assessed? Would it benefit him?
Yes, you should get him assessed. Yes, it will benefit you much more than it will benefit him, because it will gain you a much more sympathetic and empathic impression of where your boy is at. I bet you dollars to donuts he's on the spectrum somewhere, because it's all leaking out in this communication. Yeah. It's all there. Should you force him? No. Why would you force someone to do something they don't want to do? If he's comfortable living his life the way he's living it, we leave him alone. He's 16 years old, and now you want to tighten up on the screen time. Well, you've left it a little bit too long.
Yes.
We've gone through this so many times. If you want to rear your children so that they live a life of social communication and intercourse beyond a screen, you start early on. You don't suddenly swoop in at age 14, 15, or 16 and say, we're turning off the broadband tonight at 9.
Yeah.
You better expect explosions, either minor or major, if that happens. So I think there needs to be some limits. You are the parents. Regardless of whatever conditions he may have, being very bright or gifted, la-di-da, he still requires discipline, limits, and guidelines in the family home. That is your job. Now it's time to apply them. It's not going to be easy. You've waited too long. But if you want him off the screen, then by God, you insist that he get off the screen. If you want him sitting down at the dinner table without his headphones on, you insist that he doesn't have his headphones on. If it discomforts you and everyone else to have him wandering around like a robot with headphones on in the living room after a certain hour, you insist that he take them off and let the chips fall where they may. You're the parents. Your job is to be in control. Do your job.
She seems to have had, you know, she does say he's not allowed it at the kitchen table, and they take it off him at 9 p.m. or he shuts it off at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Is there given what he seems to be looking at online, and obviously his, you know, let's assume he is gifted. Obviously he goes to the DCU thing during the summer, so he must be. His brain is a sponge. He needs to keep absorbing your, is it almost cruel to, like, he's not just, you know, looking up crap on Facebook. Yeah. You know, he's
exactly.
He's
that's
reading
the good
stuff.
News. We are going to assume that he's reading cognitively stimulating, high interest material, whatever it might be. Mm. Now, we don't know what it is. It would be helpful for parents to find out exactly what it is, because it's probably very appropriate and stimulating to him. You still need supervision around the hours in which he is going to access that information. You don't eliminate it. Give him structure and guidelines and let him do it. He doesn't need to be on it 6 hours a day. That's excessive.
Yeah.
So 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 4, I don't know. You have to come to a decision on your own, parents. But that's how you deal with these things. But back to the assessment issue, assessment of young people like this can be really important, because there are a host of secondary difficulties that are associated with giftedness, or what's sometimes called exceptional ability. And they usually fall in the social realm and in the emotional realm. In addition to which, if in fact he is on the spectrum, you need to understand how to deal with him. How to talk to him, how to set limits, because you have to do it differently than you would for your normal expected 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And that's the goodness that can come from a very thorough assessment, which will give you as parents guidelines and also help him understand himself a little bit, because I wouldn't wonder if, since he's so bright, he notices that he's a little bit different. He's probably noticing that other 16-year-olds may not have similar interests to him, or the tolerance to listen to him talk about his particular interests. And that causes social difficulties and discomfort sometimes.
Yeah.
This needs some looking into. It's not a horribly complicated situation. I'd like to see more control around the screen time issue, since that's a presenting problem here. He's too much on the screen. If he doesn't want to be heavily involved socially with other people, don't force it. I've said this before, parents. Your child is your textbook. Read your child and follow the child. Do not assume, as has been said here, he should be spending more time with same-age peers. There are no shoulds. The great one of the founding figures of cognitive psychology, Albert Ellis, used to say, should-hood is S-I-T-H-hood. Don't should on yourself today.
Yeah. That's a motto to live by.
It is a good motto to live by.
On the subject of screen time, you're actually, it seems as if you're the cause of perhaps children getting too much screen time.
Am I?
Good. According to this text.
Good. I'm such at something anyway.
God, I love the parenting slot, says this text, or somewhat so that I've stuck on Netflix for my two little darlings so I can listen without any interruption about how to reduce screen time. Slight contradiction there, really. You can see it there.
Well done. Well done. We need the ratings.
Anya says, as a counsellor, it's inspiring to listen to David. He speaks with compassion. And someone else says, David is brilliant. He's like the David Attenborough of children's information. I could listen to him all day.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
That's
thank
a lovely
you.
Comparison. David, always a pleasure. Thanks very much for coming into us. We're going to take a break after that. Who killed Diane Fossey?
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie